So I'm going to approach the book of Leviticus a little bit different today. Okay, I mentioned last Sabbath that one thing I have learned or trying to learn and understand about the book of Leviticus, it's not about laws. It really is about how one is to be a priest. And we are to be kings and priests, or we'd be the kingship of priests. Now, a lot of these things are very physical. And so I besought God, what is it that you were trying to show us, tell us, and lead us to know? Well, today, I'm going to have a little different approach. I'm going to have Leviticus 8th and 9th and 10th chapter read. Of the three of them, that's quite a bit, but really these chapters are not really as complicated, but they're all connected together. And before I ask you what you thought, I'm going to throw in one or two comments here and there of what I think it means. And then I'm going to ask you, what is it you see? You understand what I'm saying so far? We're going to reverse it just a little bit. I'm not saying I'm going to always go with this, but I want to find out if this is really the direction that God has in mind for me to do first. Tell you what I think first, and then hear what you have to say. Not that my thinking should dominate the situation. I think in the past I have been able to hear what you said, then I dominate my opinion, or I dominate my say-so in it. So I'm going to become first, I'm going to say what I think about it, and then I want to hear what you have to say. Fair enough? Okay. So we're going to go to Leviticus chapter 8, 9, and 10. They're all linked together.
And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, take Aaron and his sons with him, and the garments, the anointing oil, a bull as sin offering, two rams, and a basket of unleavened bread. And gather all the congregation together at the door of the tabernacle of meeting. So Moses did as the Lord commanded him, and the congregation was gathered together at the door of the tabernacle of meeting. And Moses said to the congregation, this is what the Lord commanded to be done. Then Moses brought Aaron and his sons and washed them with water. And he put the tunic on him, girded him with the sash, clothed him with the robe, and put the ephod on him. And he girded him with the intricately woven band of the ephod, and with it tied the ephod on him. Then he put the breastplate on him, and he put the Urim and the Thummim in the breastplate. And he put the turban on his head. Also, on the turban, on its front, he put the golden plate, the holy crown, as the Lord had commanded Moses. Also Moses took the anointing oil, and anointed the tabernacle and all that was in it, and consecrated them. He sprinkled some of it on the altar 7 times, anointed the altar and all its utensils, and the laver and its base, to consecrate them. And he poured some of the anointing oil on Aaron's head, and anointed him to consecrate him. Then Moses brought Aaron's sons, and put tunics on them, girded them with sashes, and put hats on them, as the Lord had commanded Moses. And he brought the bull for the sin offering. Then Aaron and his sons laid their hands on the head of the bull for the sin offering, and Moses killed it. Then he took the blood, and put some on the horns of the altar all around with his finger, and purified the altar. And he poured the blood at the base of the altar and consecrated it to make atonement for it. And he took all the fat that was on the entrails, the fatty lobe attached to the liver, and the 2 kidneys with their fat, and Moses burned them on the altar. But the bull, its hide, its flesh, and its offal he burned with fire outside the camp, as the Lord had commanded Moses. Then he brought the ram as the burnt offering, and Aaron and his sons laid their hands on the head of the ram, and Moses killed it. Then he sprinkled the blood all around on the altar, and he cut the ram into pieces, and Moses burned the head, the pieces, and the fat. Then he washed the entrails and the legs in water, and Moses burned the whole ram on the altar. It was a burnt sacrifice for a sweet aroma, an offering made by fire to the Lord, as the Lord had commanded Moses. And he brought the 2nd ram, the ram of consecration. Then Aaron and his sons laid their hands on the head of the ram, and Moses killed it. Also he took some of its blood and put it on the tip of Aaron's right ear, on the thumb of his right hand, and on the big toe of his right foot. Then he brought Aaron's sons, and Moses put some of the blood on the tips of their right ears, on the thumbs of their right hands, and on the big toes of their right feet. And Moses sprinkled the blood all around on the altar. Then he took the fat and the fat tail, all the fat that was on the entrails, the fatty lobe attached to the liver, the two kidneys and their fat, and the right thigh. And from the basket of unleavened bread that was before the Lord, he took one unleavened cake, a cake of bread anointed with oil, and one wafer, and put them on the fat and on the right thigh. And he put all these in Aaron's hands and in his son's hands and waved them as a wave offering before the Lord. Then Moses took them from their hands and burnt them on the altar on the burnt offering. They were consecrated offerings for a sweet aroma. That was an offering made by fire to the Lord. And Moses took the breast and waved it as a wave offering before the Lord. It was Moses' part of the ram of consecration, as the Lord had commanded Moses. Then Moses took some of the anointing oil and some of the blood which was on the altar, and sprinkled it on Aaron, on his garments, on his sons, and on the garments of his sons with him. And he consecrated Aaron, his garments, his sons, and the garments of his sons with him. And Moses said to Aaron and his sons, "Boil the flesh at the door of the tabernacle of meeting, and eat it there with the bread that is in the basket of consecration offerings, as I commanded, saying, Aaron and his sons shall eat it. What remains of the flesh and of the bread you shall burn with fire, and you shall not go outside the door of the tabernacle of meeting for 7 days. Until the days of your consecration are ended, for 7 days he shall consecrate you. As he has done this day, so the Lord has commanded to do, to make atonement for you. Therefore you shall stay at the door of the tabernacle of meeting day and night for 7 days, and keep the charge of the Lord, so that you may not die, for so I have been commanded." So Aaron and his sons did all the things that the Lord had commanded by the hand of Moses. It came to pass on the 8th day that Moses called Aaron and his sons and the elders of Israel. And he said to Aaron, "Take for yourselves a young bull as a sin offering and a ram as a burnt offering without blemish, and offer them before the Lord. And to the children of Israel you shall speak, saying, Take a kid of the goats as a sin offering, and a calf and a lamb, both of the first year, without blemish, as a burnt offering. Also, a bull and a ram as peace offerings to sacrifice before the Lord, and a grain offering mixed with oil. For today the Lord will appear to you." So they brought what Moses commanded before the tabernacle of meeting, and all the congregation drew near and stood before the Lord. Then Moses said, "This is a thing which the Lord commanded you to do, and the glory of the Lord will appear to you." And Moses said to Aaron, "Go to the altar, offer your sin offering and your burnt offering, and make atonement for yourself and for the people. Offer the offering of the people, and make atonement for them, as the Lord commanded." Aaron therefore went to the altar and killed the calf of the sin offering, which was for himself. Then the sons of Aaron brought the blood to him, and he dipped his finger in the blood, put it on the horns of the altar, and poured the blood at the base of the altar. But the fat, the kidneys, and the fatty lobe from the liver of the sin offering he burned on the altar, as the Lord had commanded Moses. The flesh and the hide he burned with fire outside the camp. And he killed the burnt offering, and Aaron's sons presented to him the blood, which he sprinkled all around on the altar. Then they presented the burnt offering to him with its pieces and head, and he burned them on the altar. And he washed the entrails and the legs, and burned them with the burnt offering on the altar. Then he brought the people's offering and took the goat, which was the sin offering for the people, and killed it and offered it for sin, like the first one. And he brought the burnt offering and offered it according to the prescribed manner. Then he brought the grain offering, took a handful of it, and burned it on the altar, besides the burnt sacrifice of the morning. He also killed the bull and the ram as sacrifices of peace offerings, which were for the people. And Aaron's sons presented to him the blood, which he sprinkled all around on the altar, and the fat from the bull and the ram, the fatty tail, what covers the entrails and the kidneys, and the fatty lobe attached to the liver, and they put the fat on the breasts. Then he burned the fat on the altar. But the breasts and the right thigh Aaron waved as a wave offering before the Lord, as Moses had commanded. Then Aaron lifted up his hand toward the people, blessed them, and came down from offering the sin offering, the burnt offering, and the peace offerings. And Moses and Aaron went into the tabernacle of meeting and came out and blessed the people. Then the glory of the Lord appeared to all the people, and the fire came out from before the Lord and consumed the burnt offering and the fat on the altar. When all the people saw it, they shouted and fell on their faces. Then Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, each took his censer and put fire in it, put incense on it, and offered profane fire before the Lord, which he had not commanded them. So fire went out from the Lord and devoured them, and they died before the Lord. And Moses said to Aaron, "This is what the Lord spoke, saying, By those who come near me, I must be regarded as holy, and before all the people, I must be glorified." So Aaron held his peace. Then Moses called Mishael and Elizaphan, the sons of Uziel, the uncle of Aaron, and said to them, "Come near, carry your brethren from before the sanctuary out of the camp." So they went near and carried them by their tunics out of the camp, as Moses had said. And Moses said to Aaron and to Eleazar and to Ithamar his sons, "Do not uncover your heads, nor tear your clothes, lest you die, and wrath come upon all the people. But let your brethren, the whole house of Israel, bewail the burning which the Lord has kindled. You shall not go out from the door of the tabernacle of meeting, lest you die, for the anointing oil of the Lord is upon you." And they did according to the word of Moses. Then the Lord spoke to Aaron, saying, "Do not drink wine or intoxicating drink, you nor your sons with you, when you go into the tabernacle of meeting, lest you die. It shall be a statute forever throughout your generations, that you may distinguish between holy and unholy, and between unclean and clean, and that you may teach the children of Israel all the statutes which the Lord has spoken to them by the hand of Moses." And Moses spoke to Aaron and to Eleazar and Ithamar, his sons who were left, "Take the grain offering that remains of the offerings made by fire to the Lord, and eat it without leaven beside the altar, for it is most holy. You shall eat it in a holy place, because it is your due and your sons' due of the sacrifices made by fire to the Lord, for so I have been commanded. The breast of the wave offering and the thigh of the heave offering you shall eat in a clean place, you, your sons, and your daughters with you, for they are your due and your sons' due, which are given from the sacrifices of peace offerings of the children of Israel. The thigh of the heave offering and the breast of the wave offering they shall bring with the offerings of fat made by fire, to offer as a wave offering before the Lord, and it shall be yours and your sons with you by a statute forever, as the Lord has commanded." Then Moses made careful inquiry about the goat of the sin offering, and there it was, burned up. And he was angry with Eleazar and Ithamar, the sons of Aaron, who were left, saying, "Why have you not eaten the sin offering in a holy place, since it is most holy? And God has given it to you to bear the guilt of the congregation, to make atonement for them before the Lord. See, its blood was not brought inside the holy place. Indeed, you should have eaten it in a holy place, as I commanded." And Aaron said to Moses, "Look, this day they have offered their sin offering and their burnt offering before the Lord, and such things have befallen me. If I had eaten the sin offering today, would it have been accepted in the sight of the Lord?" So when Moses heard that, he was content. Content.
All right, just a few comments here before I open up for discussion here. I wanted to make a note here on Leviticus, the 8th chapter, starting in verse 2. "And Hath did to take Aaron and his sons with him, and the garments, anointed them with oil, and the bowl as a sin offering, and two rams, and a basket of unleavened bread." Keep in mind, it's a bowl and the two rams, along with the unleavened bread. This particular area, we're pretty full and aware of, that really centers around something very important, and that is what's called the consecration, that is the anointing or the setting aside. In the 22nd verse of Leviticus 8, 22nd, he says, "And he brought the second ram." And we talked about that. We know what the first one was, sin. The second one was the whole offering or the whole ram offering. And this one here is different. The second one is for something else. And it's called for the consecration, or in Hebrew, the word, don't have to know this, but understand the Hebrew word, is ha-miluim. Ha-miluim. It's always a plurality word. And what that word really means is that you're putting aside something for a particular purpose. Taking something that is put aside. So this second ram was used to put aside something very special for a certain purpose, a certain reason. And of course, it refers to putting aside Aaron and all of his sons, putting them aside from everybody else. That's what that offering is all about, to be fulfilled. Verse 28, it says, "Then Moses took them and their hands and burnt them on the altar and the whole offering, and they were the sons and Aaron," okay, in a spiritual concept, "were consecrated offerings for the sweet aroma." So we have that word means to put in order for a specific reason. We have heard in the past that when someone's sanctified, God's put it aside. This Hebrew word does not mean that kind of word. It means set in purpose to do something that God has put in order. And this particular, for chapter 8, chapter 9, and chapter 10, is showing how he, and what this first thing we have is putting in order. All the anointing, all four sons were anointed. All of them were put in order in preciseness. And keep that part in mind as we continue on. In chapter 9, very fascinating. I do not have an answer, but here comes the eighth day, and I have no idea what that relates to. However, it's very interesting. The latter part of that verse, read the verses, came to pass on the eighth day, which is very important. 7 days have passed now. It's on the eighth day that Moses called Aaron and his sons and the elders of Israel. Very important that we know that it's the elders of Israel. When the Bible uses quite often the word, but translated in your words, of the congregation, it doesn't mean everybody. Generally, it can mean everybody. The majority of the time, when the beginning of the chapter calls the elders, then they use the word congregation. The elders are congregating themselves together. And we learned that and we will learn that in more detail. But remember, in the 10th chapter of Numbers, the elders were to be congregating together when the blowing of a trumpet for a reason. And so certain duties and things were given to them. But the very interesting thing, verse 4, I want to make an interesting statement here. It says, and the bull and the ram, which for a peace offering, to sacrifice for Yahuwah, and the grain offering, the menhah offering, mixed with oil, for today, very fascinating, on the eighth day, this has an interesting terminology. Yahuwah will, and this translation says, appear to you. Well, that word appear doesn't mean to show up. It kind of means he's going to see, look at, inspect, and perceive, and consider. So on the eighth day, Yahuwah had come to be able to take a look at, perceive, inspect, and consider whether or not, if I can use that word, whether or not, doesn't say whether or not, because he did, Aaron and his sons did exactly what they're supposed to do. So he came, he appeared to them, it doesn't appear to them physically, he mean he came and he will inspect, seeing whether or not it was carried out. A very interesting thing to keep in mind, because later on in that particular chapter, the very last section, verse 23 of 9th chapter, when the elders, remember, we're talking about the elders who were there, present before them. And it says, and Moses and Aaron went into the tabernacle, we'll talk about it a little bit later on, immediately and came out and blessed the people. It wasn't the congregation, it was the elders that were there. And the glory of, here's the word appearance again, meaning to see, to look at, to inspect, and perceive all the elders of the people. So it's the second thing, God's coming down, looking at, and inspecting him. In Genesis, when God brought forth the animals to Adam, that word is to see what he would call them. Now, he's not looking at them. He could, what are you going to, when you perceive to see what they do, what are you going to call them when you see what they do? And then because Adam saw what the animal did, he therefore called them what they do. Called them after what they do. And this is where that word comes from. It's not appearing like, you know, he's going to come down in a cloud. This is not the word for appearance, coming down in a cloud and scaring everybody like he did in Mount Sinai. This is meaning he's going to come and inspect to take a look at. And to shock, he used the word shock, the elders of Israel, he came down and consumed the fire. I mean, consumed the offering, right? And burnt it up. And what did they do? The elders saw it, and they shouted and fell on their faces. I don't think they shouted in joy. I think they shouted in fear. Maybe. I don't know. That's my thinking. All right? In the 10th chapter, which we'll go into more detail later on today, it's very important for us to, I think, personally think, to pay real close attention of what it is being said in the first verse all the way to the third verse and really try to understand what the situation is. We'll not go through that right now. So, I am ready. What are your thoughts? What are your ideas? What are you thinking? What do you perceive?
It appears, at least to me, I could be wrong, that the offerings of the priests themselves, they're taken as far as they're offerings given for them to consecrate them and such before and then also after their consecration at the beginning and the end, which seems odd to me.
Okay, repeat your question again. I'm a little confused.
Well, they're consecrating them, taking care of them, making them ready.
In the eighth chapter.
Yeah.
Okay.
I forgot where it was. That's somewhere right now. I forgot which verse it was in. But anyway, so they kill an animal.
Right.
They are there for, what, 7 days?
Yeah. Whatever it is. They had to repeat this thing for 7 days.
And they, yeah, for every day they kill it. Doesn't it seem strange to you? In that when, if, for example, everywhere else, the entire book of Leviticus, I've created, let's say I've made 1,000 sins this week. Okay. I lay all 1,000 sins to this one animal. Animal's dead.
Right. Yeah.
I'm done. I don't do the next animal 5 minutes later in case I sin again. I don't continue on the process.
that the one animal takes care of the sins and purifying all that kind of stuff. But yet I have to do this as a priest for 7 days. So after day one, I'm clean. But yet day two, three, four, five, six, and seven, I'm still clean, always have been. I'm killing an additional 6 more days with an animal. Completely unnecessary for me.
For you.
Or my family.
Or your family.
It's a bizarre picture. I don't fully understand why would God require that, in that, because it's not like they've continually sinned.
No.
I'm gonna, where you could argue, oh, well, maybe they were thought.
Well,
were,
yeah, right. You know, okay, I understand. I understand the same.
You know what I mean? As far as actually doing something.
It's like a completing thing. I want this completing completion.
Yeah, and it's doing over and over again. It's like, oh, well, they're already cleaned the first day. They're still, are they still dirty somehow? It seems odd to me.
Yeah, I understand that. Do you have an answer or statement?
I think it's practice, because Moses showed them what to do once. But then, in a way, they have to practice it. Because like Daniel said, they weren't, you know, they're supposed to be in the tent of meeting. They're supposed to be by themselves. They couldn't have gotten into too much trouble. So why are they killing these animals all the time? And I think it's because of practice.
So
that might be an oversimplification.
So after 7 days, you get the picture?
Yeah.
I bet you will know. Okay, I understand. Anybody else? Deaf? Yeah, go ahead.
I have a feeling that the reason why it's done for 7 days is to bring it to completion.
It is
a complete consecration.
For
thus,
all the house of
Israel. They graduate on the eighth day.
Graduate on the eighth day.
Well, I kind of along those lines. I was just thinking that this priesthood is, in a manner of speaking, the priesthood that would act as priest for the whole world, almost, because this is where God sets this practice up. And it is for the house of Israel, but anybody who wants to join the house of Israel after that point can also. And so it's this practice. Also, I think, you know, in the Ten Commandments, he talks about the sins of the fathers. And if it's part of the cleansing, you know, this is several generations after Adam and Eve,
right.
Even, you know, less after the flood.
We also have to remember now, there is the third animal there.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And that's very important. Now, when the people brought forth theirs, they didn't bring forth, it says, a lamb or a sheep. Well, we haven't gone there, but they're not to bring a bull, bring a lamb or a sheep for their hatah offering, their sin offering. And they could give also a shalom offering, a shalom offering rather, and they could give a minhah offering. And Aaron had to go through that process for them on the eighth day. But to answer Daniel's question, it's one of those things we don't have a solid answer to. I mean, I can accept Jeff's thinking about it. It's probably a good one. But at the same time, it's like saying, no, what is the object of doing this for 7 days continually? Yes, it could be teaching to get the family used to the mere fact, this is what you're going to do. And after they had to do it themselves for 7 days, now they have to do it for the whole tribe of Israel, for individuals as well as the leadership.
Ellie and Mo was just talking about this. She pointed out something which could be a good point, which I didn't thought about at first, although I'm going to modify what she just said, so no offense. So she had stated that it appears it's a picture. All right, so it could be. Not that it is, but it could be a picture. To me, if Aaron's supposed to be the high priest, meaning he's a picture of the Messiah himself, somehow this 7-day process is something the Messiah has to go through. Or in order to take over as high priest / king. That's
okay.
Essentially what he's doing. So, to me, no offense, but I'm modifying her position right here. She had pointed out potentially of you know, 137,000 years. I'm glad to think that triggered it could be actually the process, because right now we consider Messiah our high priest, but he's not our king yet. But the Revelation's story, as it points out, there's the seven seals, seven trumpets, seven blah, blah, blah. He has to go through those steps before he actually officially becomes our king. It could be a picture that this is how Messiah transcends or ascends the throne. That there is a process of death on each of those seven trumpets or each of those
that's
seven seals. To me, if I see something like that, there's got to be a picture for something. And
yeah, it's going to be more important than what's happening to Aaron and his sons.
Yeah, I agree that there's probably repetition in it, getting used to how it works.
That's a good point.
I'm trying to envision what the picture God's trying to point out, and maybe that's it.
The interesting thing is, that's 7 days. So I also include also in the Shabbat. He had to do the very same thing in the Shabbat. Then the eighth day came in, and something else had to do for the people. which is different for the people. The offering was different for the people. We're not finished with the eighth day yet, but something really happened real bad on the eighth day, too. Go ahead.
Carrying on that idea of a picture, I tend to see the feasts in these. All the feasts are, are represented here. I mean, you got the Feast of Dedication, you got the Feast of Tabernacles, you got the Feast of Passover. I mean, if maybe I'm looking to. It's a picture. It's a picture.
There's nothing wrong with what you're seeing. I'm not saying it's right or wrong. I'm just saying, okay, you got a good point. I'm not going to say yes or no to it because I think it probably has. Everything has a whole lot deeper meaning that we're asking God to just show us. Let us try, help us to understand it. And if you're not going to let us understand it yet, then what do we do? We wait until He says, I will let you understand it. Because a lot more ways that we as people, as individuals, now, just one more second, Jeff. Is that like, you know, if when you and I go to the high priest for something on an individual basis, that's one thing. Here, on the eighth day, which we have not reached yet, the whole congregation, that is the representatives of the whole congregation, go before to have their sins being paid for. So as a group of people, we already read that before, right? When a priest does something that affects the nation, the people still have to pay the consequences thereof. Same thing with leader. So the leaders have to kind of say, okay, I'm responsible for the transgressions. Or sometimes what my decisions are for the people are going to suffer from what I've said. Jeff?
It is quite interesting, though, kind of touching on what Anne was talking about, is that we're talking about this being a seven-day period of consecration. Now, we know from the other prophets, they're talking about the great dedication that's coming forward. And we think about during, coming up on the time of Hanukkah, and that being a picture with a seven-day period, kind of like a second Feast of Tabernacles that they couldn't celebrate a few months earlier. The interesting thing is that that was a picture of something great coming forward, in a picture of the greater glory coming into the temple, some greater glory. Now,
yeah,
it is very interesting that that was a completely unintended picture. They were just celebrating it 2 months later than it was like a second Feast of Tabernacles they couldn't do.
This appears that it happened very first part of the year.
The interesting thing is to note that who is instituting this? Who walked through it first? It was Moses walked through it first.
Yes, had to walk through it first.
And
very fascinating.
It's very interesting when you start looking at the book of Hebrews and it talks about, you know, that someone, I guess, before the priesthood doing things.
Yeah.
Moses there.
Yeah.
But being a type of who was going to come later, a prophet like unto me.
Yeah.
It is very interesting that when you do see this greater glory that's going to be coming into God's house.
And we know And what am I going to say? Moses is supposed to act like God. He didn't offer any sin offering for himself. But for the high priest, the priesthood, we're supposed to be kings and priests, or kings of priests. And so that's what he does. This is the Father saying, oh, I've got this covered. You know what I'm saying? I don't know if I got the complete picture here, but I find very interesting that Moses is not doing the offering for his sins or his transgressions. First, it's the Aaron and his sons. For 7 days, they must do it themselves. He just did it one day. And for the next 6 days, they did it. And the eighth day, they had to do it for the people. And there's a picture here. And on the seventh, every holy day, there's a sacrifice of sin. Even the eighth day, there is a sacrifice for sin, constantly going through. So, yeah, I understand what you're saying. It's kind of neat to see these pictures, and I hope that we can have. Let's go on. If we can, I got to move on here, if you don't mind. The 10th chapter. I got to bypass the 9th chapter because basically we are talked about it. What's referring to briefly, but I want to go to the 10th chapter. And I think it's very, very important. I want to read this And I'm sorry, not the 10th chapter. I'm going to read my 10th chapter. I'm not there yet. Okay, yeah. In his translation, all due respect, it says the two sons. And this thing about the fire, all right? And if I'm not mistaken, your translation calls it profane fire. That's not the Hebrew word. The Hebrew word for profane is unholy. This is not the word for most of your translations and King James translations, and I looked at so many of them, they all have the same meaning. It means strange fire. Now, what is a strange fire? Not a profane one. Profane means unholy. This is on the eighth day. It was occurring. And the two men were putting a fire onto a censer, and it was called a not profane in New English, but in Hebrew, it's not called that. It's called what? Called a strange fire. Now, what does that mean? It means putting something that is not the way to do it. They're doing something that's not the way they were supposed to do it. It wasn't the fire came from some... They were in the holy place. They were at the altars. All that smoke and all that fire and all the ashes was within that tabernacle. They were not to leave. Right? And so they didn't go out the tabernacle, go fall here to the fire to get those ashes or get those coals. It was there in the tabernacle. You understand what I'm saying? So it's not the object, it was foreign in the sense, or strange in the sense that it's not what the process is supposed to be. And this is very important because I think we go down to verse 3. Here is what the Creator of heaven and earth said. Okay, the reason why he said this, by those who come near me, I must be regarded as holy, and before all the people, the elders that were there, I must be glorified. Oh, what did they do? Did they take it for granted? Or were these two sons rebellious, hateful, resentful, didn't like it? No. They were already sanctified for 8 days. They had anointing put upon them as priests. What did the priests do? Two of them took it out of order. They didn't do according to what they're supposed to do. I can't go back and find out when you're supposed to bring that fire of incense. I don't know. It wasn't at the Day of Atonement. This was on the eighth day that took place. You had a question or answer?
It was more like thinking that they weren't following directions.
Following directions, because the concentration, remember we said the third animal, the goat, was for what? And it was sanctified for what? Putting something in order that you precisely do according to the procedures that have been set in place. Now, they did something, which I don't know. I wasn't there. And everybody has a speculation. It may be the speculation is correct of what they did. I don't know. But they didn't do according to the order of what to do with fire. Okay. What did they do? Did they bring a strange fire from someplace else? No. They took something that was not in the precise order that God had in mind. Yes?
I was thinking maybe they had blue eyes and they did it their way.
It doesn't say that, but I understand you say it. But, I don't look at these two sons of Aaron who were anointed priests, who were anointed with oil as the other two brothers were and as Aaron himself was. And we read here that Moses is mad not at Aaron, but mad at his other two sons because they burnt the sin offering up. But, and then Aaron says, wait a minute, this has not been a good day for me. And the sons in there, why didn't they get burnt? Why didn't they get slaughtered? Because now we have a different answer. You have a statement? No. Anybody? Say what? Go ahead.
Well, what they did was still systematically laid down. They didn't do anything out of order.
But they should never have burnt the sin offering, not supposed to be completely burnt up. That's the rules.
Right. Yeah. You just asked why they didn't get burnt up for doing that. And God's mercy. But if that's what happened, they hadn't done anything out of order.
They probably chose not to eat it. I mean, after all, their brothers were dead. Their brothers were killed. I don't know if I could eat that day myself personally. I'd say, okay, I can't eat today. My brothers are dead. Oh, you forgot the animal.
Sorry, yeah, it was actually along Kathy's point. As a matter of fact, yeah, if for some, the sin offering, you burn up all this, most of it, and you eat a portion of it. Well, no one else is allowed to eat it, and you're never allowed to bury it. So what do you do with it?
You're going
to
burn it.
You can't bury it. You're not going to eat it. Nobody else can eat it. Well, the solution is burn it.
So just burn it, because I'm not... I think
she's right. They actually didn't do anything out of order, per se.
Right.
Yeah,
that's
not what you're supposed to do. But
you got a good point.
It wasn't necessarily wrong.
And Moses kept silent. He said, okay, you got a point, you know.
I guess 2 points. Now I lost it. But the idea of... Okay, so the strange fire doesn't have anything to do with Sabbath, lighting candles?
Nothing. This is entirely different. We're talking about the concentration of the making of the high priest to do something for the people. Now, what these two brothers did, the two sons of Aaron, they did something out of order because on that eighth day, something was required of Aaron and his four sons to do. And that was to sanctify the elders. Take the sin offering of the elders and take that the shalom offering of the elders and take the minhah offering of the elders and do according to what it is required. Now, what they did, they did something out of order.
All right, so Sabbath evening.
This was the eighth day. I don't know if it was Sabbath or not.
But Sabbath evening, kindling of...
That's a different issue completely.
Okay, all right.
Different issue altogether. This has nothing to do with that one. This has to do with the death of the two sons. Oh, they're strange fire. They ought to have taken it out of somewhere else. They took it from the very inner tabernacle. Not inner tabernacle. They took it from the very tabernacle itself. But they didn't do it in the right order. Which order? I don't know. Doesn't say. Just actions. God is just showing actions of something that was not followed, and it was out of order. It wasn't in the process of doing something that was the fulfilling of something was different than normal, than what was commanded. There's nothing here about this. Well, I understand that. I'm not in that subject matter. I'm not going to say you should or shouldn't do that. I'm just saying if your heart is there, do it. If you understand it, do it. But I'm not saying this particular area in the 10th chapter of the two deaths of Aaron's sons is different. All right? And I want to accentuate this because I think it's very, very important that we pay attention to those 7 days and then the eighth day. Something happened drastically different. The eighth day, of course, quote, was the eighth day a Sabbath day? Doesn't say. Did they start their 7 days on the seventh, on a Shabbat? And then Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, they ended it? And then Sabbath? They brought strange fire? No. Doesn't say that. Doesn't tell you what day of the week it is. It just tells you the sanctification of these four brothers and the father. That's all. And so I don't want to interpret or bring about that this is an example of doing something different on the Sabbath, because it doesn't even talk about the Sabbath. Yes. Go ahead, Ellie.
Well, so all four of the sons blew it.
I'm sorry, what?
So all four of the sons did it wrong. The first two did it wrong and got killed, and then the second two did it wrong too. Right?
I'm not... The parents of the Word of God, the second two did not do it wrong.
Okay, it says in verse 18, see, its blood wasn't brought inside the holy place. Indeed, you should have eaten it in the holy place as I commanded it.
Right.
So the second sons did not follow
the procedure
either.
Right.
So all four of his sons got in trouble that day. Two got dead.
Yes, they all got in trouble. I have no doubt they got in trouble because you wouldn't want Moses to be mad at you.
I don't
have any problem with that statement, okay? What I'm saying is that God said, I have mercy upon whom I have mercy, and I'll have, you know, and I'll have to pay for what I want them to pay. I think the two older sons had to pay the price for a reason. I'm serious about this business. Okay, I'm very serious about this business. Now, Eleazar became one of the most important priests after the death of Aaron. And he is here being Moses mad at him. Yes.
Well, the Aaron's statement to me looks like a pretty operative statement in this. You know, he asked the question, would it even be acceptable to the Lord if I had eaten it? Because of the state that I'm in. And, you know, it might be that they were just not in a state to fully perform.
Yeah, so there's something here that Aaron, I agree with you on that one point, something here that Aaron understood that Moses didn't, because things are being transferred. When the sanctification took place for 8 days, something was being transferred from Moses to Aaron. What was being transferred? Not leadership. Moses still leader. What? The precept, the preaching, the teaching. And from this point on, it's Aaron's going to be the main. From history's point on, it's the Levites who are teaching, not the sons of Moses. Remember, we had this thing with Daniel in the book of Joshua? No. Judges or judges? One of the sons his son went the wrong direction. Grandson went the wrong direction. Okay. Uh-oh. And he was doing something he should have done. He put an idol. He brought forth an idol. And there it is, you know. But that has to do with the man Moses. Because God said to Moses, I'll make you an Elohim. And I'll make Aaron your prophet, meaning the prophet, carrying out the functions that even the Messiah would do. All right. Any more comments? Rose?
It says in chapter 6 that the priest that offers the sin shall eat it.
Right.
So he was supposed to have eaten it.
Well, yes.
If you go over to the New Testament, Christ said that verily I say unto you, except you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you will have no life in you.
Right.
So whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day.
Well, that's a different issue compared to what's taking place here. I don't disagree with what you're saying.
I agree with you because we're becoming kings and priests ourselves. And I think this is an analogy of a spiritual matter. When we will be 7,000 years upon this earth, and the eighth day is that great judgment day, you know, after the fact, when all is going to be judged, all who did not partake of Christ and live according to that life,
I'm looking at it.
He's going to be judged.
Yeah, it depends how one looks at the eighth day. Daniel?
One last question. With reverse, I think it was 18, it was, with the whole see the blood has not been brought in to the altar. Isn't it the high priest's job to bring the blood in for the sin offering? Not just any of the priests, but only Aaron could have done that?
No. It's his sons and his sons. His family.
Okay. So anybody who does the sin offering, any of the priests can bring it into the altar.
Right. It is to Aaron, and it's because it's called Kodesh Kodeshim. Along with the transgression offerings, Kodesh Kodeshim. Why is those two so holy unto God? Why are those two particular offerings so holy unto God? Yes, Daniel. Ellie.
Okay, but they're all three high priests at the same time? Or there's one high priest and when he dies or something,
well,
the next one, but they're all three high priests serving at the same time?
And his family. Let me go here. I think I wrote it down here. Underlined it. Let me take a look. He says here, And now let's backtrack here in chapter 10. Well, let's go to verse 10. That you may distinguish, talk about drinking water or wine, rather. You may distinguish between what is holy and unholy. This is the word of the unholy, which is profane. Profane means that which is downright unclean. Not, it's unholy. It's going contrary to everything. It's wickedness, in a sense. It's kol. Chol, which means, when we have the word translated in our English, profane, means you are deliberately going against everything that God had in mind. That's one of those nasty ones. It's one of those profane things. Or in modern times, they have translated it to secular things, and they have the idea from profane and holy. Well, a lot of people have a belief that from Sunday to Friday is profane days, and the seventh day is a holy day. But that's not scripturally true. All right, that's scripturally true. Because the word profane does not refer to 6 days of profanity, of profaneness and wickedness and horribleness. I mean, did day one, day two, day three, day four, day five, day six that God created profane days? No, they were holy time. His presence was there, and His existence was there, and His power was there. Nothing was unclean. Nothing became unclean until after the sin started coming in. Okay, that's a different issue. I really am strongly not one. I'm a strong person on this particular point. There is no such thing as 6 days of profane and then holy. That I'm separating now the lighting the candles to separate profaned from holy, because that's not a biblical terminology. Jeff.
Well, you always like to talk about 1611 English. Profane just means common. That's all it means. It doesn't mean wicked. It means common.
Right. That's old profane. English word, yes. Common. Old English. You got 1611 English common. That's what you have now. And when we get the book of Romans, you know, some of your English talks about what that which is common. And it's something different than what you think. Yes.
I think normally the term is that separates the mundane from the whole.
That might be true.
But
on the same time, I'm a person that doesn't. A person speaking, there should be no. I should be every day of the week.
Okay,
should be very.
I don't think that they're saying that you shouldn't be holy the rest of the time. I think the concept was supposed to be that to make a mark between it so that you remember that we're on holy time and we don't do the other things. As far as, I don't know where Anne went, as far as lighting the Sabbath candles, one of the main reasons that they traditionally light the candles is because in Exodus, I think chapter 34 or 35, it says you are not to light a fire in your house on the Sabbath.
I understand that.
So it's lit ahead of time for that. And in case, because This is still discussed. There are a lot of people that say, "Well, I think they were drunk when they did it, and that's why they got killed." They think there are a lot of different concepts of it. So, being careful how candles are lit or how light is lit, because we don't have a holy fire going in our house all week. Where the temple had a fire that never went out, it was easy to go and get fire from that source and transfer it. But since we don't have a fire going all the time, because this is not fully understood what the problem was, the concept was be careful where you get your light from, and in case that was a problem, you're covered.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a. I'm here in the 10th chapter here, and I want to go to verse 11. We talked about that which is unholy, and that which is holy, and which is clean, which is unclean. 11th chapter leads into, now Moses must tell Aaron, we'll get there, that Aaron must teach the people what is clean and unclean. Okay? Jeff?
Oh, just in the clarification, because in the prophets, the word of the Lord that came through the prophets was decrying things that God had said to do. And things like, for example, in Isaiah 58, talking about, you know, coming and presenting things at the altar, there's not talked about anything that was done wrong. In some cases, they talk about bringing lame animals on the altar, but in that case, not just bringing something to the altar yet and being involved in other things outside of the presentation of the altar that were things that were not along what, you know, you could say the Spirit of God would drive someone to do. So in that case, he had said, you know, I hate your assemblies. Not that he hated the assemblies that he himself instituted, but he hated the attitude of going
through their actions
without any respect for God being alive and in control. And when I see this, and when it says later on about not setting him aside as holy, this is, you know, could be going through the motions without any respect for who it is you're doing it for, even if you are going through them all precisely.
Okay. Just real quick here, I'm a little bit over time, and I wanted to quit at a quarter to, but just in the 11th verse, is that you may teach the children of Israel, is Aaron and his sons, the Levitical, non-Levitical priests, the Aaronic priesthood, which Yahuwah has spoken to them by the hand of Moses. And Moses spoke to Aaron and Eleazar and Itamar, his sons who were left. Take the Minhah, the grain offering, that remains of the offerings made by fire to Yahuwah, and eat it without leaven besides the altar, for it is most holy, the Koresh Koreshim. And you shall eat in a holy place, a Koresh place, because it is your due and your son's due, and the sacrifice may be made by fire, for it is the sacrifice made of fire, so I have commanded you. The breast of the wave offering and the thigh of the heave offering, we went through that last week about those words, what they mean, you shall eat in a clean place. Tome, a clean place. I can't even pronounce the word in Hebrew. Anyway, for clean place. Your sons and your daughters with you. So they're allowed, when it comes to this, it had to do with the Shalomim offering. This one, all of the family of the priesthood, their sons and their daughters get to partake of what's called the Shalomim offering. But the sin offering, we noted wrote there, that just the price. Now, I didn't get my answer, but I will tell you what I think, why it's most holy. When you or I or they, the picture of what's going on here, when you have sinned, you have fallen short, or you have transgressed, you've been found guilty of transgression, and you bring your offering to God, what is the approach? Why would you do that for? Why would you bring it? Why would you bring, quote, the sin offering? Why would you bring forth the transgression offering? Why?
Because you're sorry and you want to repent.
A broken and a contrite spirit God does not reject. And so in all truth, when you look at these two particular offerings, the sin offering, the transgression offering, the person as individual and the people as a whole, all right, are bringing something because they have a broken and a contrite spirit. That's the object why it's most holy to him. What more would you want when you've sinned and transgressed and you come before God and you want him to take it away or forgive you? Because it says he'll make an atonement for you and you'll be forgiven. This is what God does. And the two pictures, these two offerings, seem to be negative. It's extremely positive. It's freeing you and me. Physically, they did it then. If they didn't want to do it, they didn't want to be forgiven. They didn't want they want to keep transgression. They didn't do it. I mean, we know Danny went through some history that it didn't miss around. They couldn't care less what's going on. And the book of Numbers will go more because it's more in detail. But do you understand what I'm saying? In my personal opinion, Richard's personal opinion, why it's most holy, Kodesh Kodeshim, is because this is what is very precious to God. Your heart, your soul, your being, your mind, your spirit, everything is now in the realm of repentance. That's the only reason why you should ever bring, quote, a sin offering to God.
or transgress an offering to God is because you want to be with God and not away from Him. And he says, that is fantastic. That is one of the best things you could ever do. Yes, whole offering is very important. Yes, I like that. Yes, I like the Shalomim offering. Yes, I like the total offering. Yes, I like the wave offering. Yes, but the ones that are most important to me, the one I consider extremely high value to me, is the sin offering and the transgression offering.